Before we do anything else, let's do the most important thing and ask God to help us as we study His Word. Let's pray. Father, we come before You as a body of believers, eternally in debt to You. And we don't know how to pay You back except to do what You've called us to do, and even that we can't do. So we ask that You would help us this morning as we study Your Word, that You would give us courage, that we might be willing to change if we need to change. We pray that You would fill up where my words will lack, and teach us, Lord, so that no one who's in this building could leave here without being changed by You. We commit this time to You once again. Holy Spirit, we invite You in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I got to tell you, this passage that we're about to study is fascinating. It has captivated me, and I pray that it captivates you as well. This, what we're about to read, is overwhelming. There's more in what we will study today and the verses that we'll study today than can be possibly discussed in this time frame. But the truth is, that's the case every week, isn't it? In any passage of Scripture, there's always more. But this passage in particular is full to overflowing. I can't express to you enough, please listen, I can't express to you enough how much there is in what we're going to look at. And so I'm asking you, as you're sitting here, to be asking God to help you to understand on a deeper level, that He would open up our hearts and speak to us, because this is something I can't communicate to you. Chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This is our passage today. If there were a guiding theme, a controlling passage in the book of Genesis, this would be it. This is a turning point in this book. I cannot overemphasize this. I'm going to read the verses again so you hear it afresh. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." If there ever was a passage that resonates throughout all of Scripture, including the New Testament and all of the Old Testament, this would be the passage. It is so significant that I find myself struggling to know how to move on here. Contextually, in this particular placement of this passage, these verses are set in contrast to what passage? What are these verses in contrast to? These verses are in contrast, essentially, to everything that has happened already. How has the story unfolded thus far? Problem after problem after problem after problem. You have a good beginning and then a problem. A better situation, then a problem. An okay situation, then a problem. The Tower of Babel immediately precedes this. And what we learned last week as we studied the Tower of Babel, is that God is the one who determines fame. God is the one who determines whose name shall be known. And the truth is, it's His name that's going to be known throughout all generations. But in this case, of all the people that exist on the face of the planet, they all want to make a name for themselves in chapter 11. They're building a tower to make a name for themselves. And God disperses them. And who does He make a name for? Abram. Abram. I will make a name for Abram. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. The people at the Tower of Babel, they failed in their task. I will make your name great, God says. I will make your name great. I determine whose name is great. And Abram, I'm going to make your name great. No amount of planning on anybody's part can cause your name to be great in the eyes of God, in the truest sense of the word, until God says, I will make your name great. And this is what He does here. I've broken up this passage in these ways. You ready? First of all, there's a controlling verb in the passage. Do you know what a verb is? There's a controlling command in this passage. What's that controlling command? What is the overarching command? The command is from God, what? Go. Go. This word go, if you were outlining this sentence, go is the, I think this is how other people do it. Go is like the top of the page at the left, and then it all branches out from go. Do you know what I'm talking about? Julie can teach you. Go. So because of that, it's very explicit here. Everything comes from that verb, from that command. Go. So, I'm starting to sound like my daughter, Olive, who likes to say, so. 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 Sorry. Okay, so. So. I wonder, yes. We start with the command, go. And I have translated and outlined this passage in this way. So if you're taking notes, here's what I would suggest you write. Go is the command so that I make you a great nation. That's the first result of the go. Go so that I make you a great nation. Under that, we can translate this, go, so that I bless you. Go, so that I can bless you. So the first, go, so that I may make you into a great nation. Go, so that I will bless you. You see it there? Verse 2, go, so that I will make you a great nation. Verse 2, go, so that I will bless you. Go. Anyone want to guess what the next? Go. So that I may make your name great. Go. So that you will be a blessing. Go. So that I may bless those who bless you. Go. So that I may curse those who dishonor you. Go. So that all the families of the earth may be blessed. This is a quite literal understanding of the text. Go so that I may make you a great nation. Go so that I may bless you. Go so that I may make your name great. Go so that you may be a blessing. Go so that I may bless those who bless you. Go so that I may curse those who dishonor you. Go so that all the families of the earth may be blessed. The command go results in seven things. Go so that. And they're beautiful. The first observation that I made studying this text is this. God's blessings far exceed the commands He gives. The first observation that I can see in this text is this. God's blessings far outweigh His commands. Do you see that? Abram's command is go. And how many things result from him following that meager command? Go. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. Go. I'm going to bless you. Go so that I may make your name great. Go so that you're a blessing. Go so that I may bless those who bless you. Go so that I may curse those who dishonor you. Go so that the families of the earth may be blessed. What's Abram's responsibility? Go. Go. Now, from Abram's perspective, is this a big responsibility? The answer is yes. From his perspective, he's got to leave his land. He's got to leave his family, leave in a situation where most likely all odds are against him ever seeing his family again. And frankly, he may die in leaving. This is a huge undertaking for Abram. Uproot your family. Not only that, who is this God who's calling Abram to go? We know him as Yahweh, correct? Think about Abram's situation. Think about his context. Who is this God who's telling me to go? Who is he? How does he know that he should listen to this God? So he has this God, and in his society, how many gods are there? There's a lot of gods. In his society, he's been called by Yahweh to go, to leave his family, everything he's ever known, the people he loves, the security of having a place to raise sheep, to do the things that they do. Where am I going to get water? Where am I going to get food? Where am I going to sleep? Where will I bring my family so that they will live in safety? I don't know. This God, this Yahweh God, has called us to go. So he decides what? To go. He didn't know where he was going to go. Notice there's nothing in that passage that tells him any specific location. It just says, go from your country and your kindred. Leave your family. Abandon them. I'll show you the way. Just go. Let me read verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Can you give me a name? Come on. I'm willing to do it. I think I'm willing to do it. Just give me a name. What are we going to go? North, south, east, west? Just come on. Help me out here. I'll show you. Pack up. Pack your things. So now, it's a significant call upon Abram's life. However, how do those things match up with what God is promising? How do those things match up with what God's promising? Hear me. Listen to me. I'm asking a real good question. How does the call that Abraham finds himself in to go match up against the blessings that God is promising him? Boy, those promises are pretty good. Those promises are pretty awesome. Hey, remember that failed attempt at the building of the tower to make a great name for everybody? Those people wanted a name for themselves. They thought they had it made. Well, God showed up to me last night and he said, go, and I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to bless you. He's going to make me into a great nation. He will protect me. He's going to curse the one who dishonors me. That's a very interesting phrase. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. Curse versus dishonor. The person that dishonors Abram will be cursed by God. If your Bible says those who curse you, I will curse, it's literally a different word, dishonor versus curse. So the person that comes up to Abram and dishonors him, in other words, is sort of even in a normal situation, kind of sticks his nose up at him and walks away, there's nothing really terrible that's happening. God says, I will curse that person for dishonoring you. You're a great man, and I'm going to make you into a great nation. If a person so much as looks at you wrong, I'll curse them. And my responsibility is to go? So the first thing is this: God's promises far exceed His command. They far outweigh His command. Stay with me, please. Secondly, from this passage, I can tell you this: God's curses are often our greatest blessings. God's curses are often our greatest blessings. Write it down. God's curses are often our greatest blessings. Here's why I say this. His curse upon the people at the Tower of Babel was what? A scattering. A scattering. Here, God is scattering Abram. The curse upon the people at the Tower of Babel was a scattering of the people at the Tower of Babel. And here we have actively God scattering Abram. That's why they're set together. There's a scattering going on. There's a genuine link between God scattering the peoples over the face of the earth, and then He says, let me give you an example of one of the scatterings that I did. Abram, be scattered. Well, that's a curse on the people of the Tower of Babel. But what is it for Abram? Enormous blessing. It's awesome blessing. His scattering, his going, results in those seven promises. So the curse that after leaving chapter 11 we would think is not so good becomes the reason Abram's blessed. The scattering is the blessing. Do you see it? So the curse upon Abram, it's a curse. I'm not letting you be by your family any longer. You need to go. We have a situation that brewed here, and I can't handle it anymore. You need to spread. And you, my friend, will be blessed because I'm cursing you away from your family. Do you see it? God's curses are, oh, more than often, our greatest blessing. The punishment that the people of the Tower of Babel experience is the blessing that Abraham experiences. Abram now. This passage is part of the result of the Tower of Babel. And it is a beautiful blessing. The only difference between the Tower of Babel scattering and the one that's outlined here, two things. One, God specifically chooses Abram to make his name great. And two, Abram's a willing participant. In the Tower of Babel, there's an understanding that there is unwillingness to be spread. Abram, in this case, is spread without a fight. Okay. God's curses are often our greatest blessings. Lastly, this is important. And you may think, I already said this, but I want to bring it to light, really to the centerpiece of this whole passage. Abram is called to go in order to be a blessing. Abram is called to go in order that he would be a blessing. Now that often gets drowned out by the idea he goes in order that his name would become great. No, he goes so that he would be a blessing. Do you see that? If you wrote down those seven things, did you notice any of them that were different than the others? Let me read them to you again. Are you ready? Go so that I may make your name great. Go so that I may bless you. Go so that I may make your name great. Excuse me. Go, the first one is so that I may make you into a great nation. Fourth, go so that you may be a blessing. Go so that I may bless those who bless you. Go so that I may curse those who dishonor you. Go so that all the families of the earth may be blessed. Are there any differences in any of those in the pattern there? There's some differences. There's two of them. There's two of them where God is not the actor. Let me read them again. Now that's significant. Go so that I may make you into a great nation. God moves so that he would become a great nation. Secondly, go so that I may bless you. God will bless him. Go so that I may make your name great. God is acting there. And then it says, go so that you would be a blessing. And then we're back to the other. Go so that I may bless those who bless you. God is acting here. Go so that I may curse those who dishonor you. And then lastly, go so that all the families of the earth may be blessed. The purpose, therefore, in Abram going is that he would be a blessing to the earth. That's his call. He's not called to make his name great. He's not called to be blessed, to bless himself. He's not called to curse those who dishonor him. He's called to what? To be a blessing. Go and be a blessing. Go because I want you to be a blessing. Go, and your responsibility is to be a blessing, and I'll take care of the rest. If I take care of this, most certainly you can be a blessing to the earth. But that's your job. Abram, you're called to be a blessing to the earth that I've created. To every people group there ever will be, you will be the blessing that they will find. So Abram is called in order that he would become a blessing to the world. That he would become a blessing to the world. And God would take care of the rest. Now with those three items in mind, praise Jesus, I'd like to look at this through the cross. Okay? With those three observations in mind, I'd like to look at it with you through the cross. Remember, the first concept, the curse is often our greatest blessing. Oh, excuse me, let's start with that anyway. God's curses are often our greatest blessing. Think about the cross. Where in history was there a greater curse laid out than on the cross? Where in all of eternity will there ever be a curse that matches the curse of God pouring all of his wrath for all of our sins upon his own Son? That is a curse of all curses for the entire world. God's greatest curse becomes our greatest blessing on the cross. And if we can become a willing participant, just as Abram was, that's all it is. Becoming a willing participant in the sacrifice Jesus laid out for us. And his curse upon Jesus Christ will become our greatest blessing. Just as Abram stepped out in faith, not knowing where he would end up, we too must be willing to step out in faith. How many people are afraid to go to the cross? And they wait and wait weeks, years, because they're just not sure. And all it takes is to become a willing participant. He's calling all of us. I promise, if you're hearing these words, he's asking you, he's calling you, go to the cross. You look at it as though it were a curse, and it is. And if you would go and become my willing participant with what Jesus did on the cross, you would receive the greatest blessing that God has ever bestowed on anyone. Abram stepped out in faith. The curse at the Tower of Babel, the spreading across the globe. Jesus Christ was crucified, died, buried. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. And when he ascended into heaven, what took place? The Holy Spirit came. Because he ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit came. Do you know that the coming of the Holy Spirit and what took place in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost was the reverse of what took place in Genesis chapter 11 when he scattered the people across the globe with the different languages? Acts chapter 2 is the reverse. When he said, oh, you're all gathered in one place, let me give you an understanding of all these languages and let you speak the truth and bring the nations together so that they would understand the cross of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ becomes the tower that reaches heaven. So the curse has been undone through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the good news of the cross. The curse laid out in Genesis 11 has been undone through Jesus Christ and his cross. It is a beautiful tower, and his name is great. And all we need be is a willing participant, just as Abram was. Secondly, our call to go to the cross of Christ is nothing compared to the enormous blessings he promises us. Our call to go to the cross, please hear me, loved ones, our call to go to the cross far exceeds anything you can imagine. And we sit here thinking, oh, that's a tough one. That's a tough, yeah, I got to leave my kindred and everything I've known. That's right. Rip yourself out of the old man and give yourself to Jesus Christ. Jim Elliot said this, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Jim Elliot was a young man, who wanted to bring the gospel to the Aka Indians, made connection with them, made contact with them. In January, after celebrating Christmas at the beach, they put up a Christmas tree in December, December 23rd, and they decorated it. They wanted to share the birth of Jesus Christ with these people who didn't know any other people group. And they kept coming back, and the Indians were afraid of them. Finally, they made contact, and in their contact, they were slaughtered. And their wives were waiting to hear on the other end of the radio. They had been praying for years for these people, and the first time they really connected with them, death. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Profound for a man who would give up what he couldn't keep to gain eternity with Jesus Christ. And 9 years later, listen, 9 years later, Jim Elliot's kids were baptized by the men who murdered him. The men who murdered him baptized his own children. And as they'll tell you, the one man who murdered their dad, they now call him dad. He's like a father to them, they say. And they gave up everything. Jim Elliot and the men in that mission gave up everything. And I promise you this, they are in glory. And if you ask them which is better, to run away from those Indians and not share the gospel, or to give your life for the name of Jesus Christ, for his fame, they would tell you unblinkingly, oh, it's better to go. It's better to go. And then I think about our perspective. We're afraid to go to the cross when there is like no requirement on us. No one's going to kill you for coming to the cross, and we hesitate. And the blessings that God promises are no different than those put before all of the apostles and all of the Christians throughout all the ages who have given themselves over to Jesus Christ, glorifying him in death. And so I'm calling us to be a radical body of believers, that we would be different than Christians who just look at the cross. No, I want to be a Christian who's running to the cross of Christ daily so that he would be lifted high. I will give myself entirely over to him on a daily basis so that he would be lifted high. I will go. Abram was not even a follower of Yahweh. His family didn't follow Yahweh. According to the name list given to us at the end of chapter 11, he and his family was steeped in pagan worship. Their names are filled with these satanic gods and deities and things that the readers back then would have read this and thought, why? Oh my goodness, these guys did not know God. And that's the fact. Abram is called from a life of sinfulness, plucked out by God, and he willingly goes. Okay, I don't know, I really don't know what's going on, but I will go. I will follow your lead. So my call to us is this. Will you follow his lead? And if you're already a follower of Jesus Christ, the command is nevertheless the same every day. Are you willing to go to the cross today? Are you willing to go to the cross today? And for those that have never come to the cross of Christ and given themselves up to Him entirely, I'm calling you, please go. Go to the cross. Lay yourself before Him willingly. Let Him curse you if He wills, for His blessings far exceed anything the world can give you. Now, Abram's call was so that he would become a blessing. And I'm here to tell you this. You cannot bless anyone in this world. You may think, oh, that's a way of blessing someone. You cannot bless this world without making Jesus Christ the centerpiece of your life. There's nothing you can do to really, really bless anyone in this world. I'm sorry to say this, but you could donate everything you have and think that you are becoming a blessing to someone, and you're not, unless Christ is at the center. I'm sorry. Anything you can give anyone that's other than Jesus Christ is a curse. If Christ is the centerpiece, everything we give anyone becomes a blessing. I want you to look back at the passage quickly. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. Verse 2, I will make of you a great nation. Look at me. Did Abram become a great nation? Amen. He became a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. Did Abram's name become great? It did, without question. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. Is that true? It is. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. Is that true? Is that evident through the rest of the pages of Genesis and all of Scripture? It is evident. The only part of this passage that doesn't come to pass through Abram is what? The only thing that doesn't happen through Abram, really explicitly, is Abram is not a blessing to the world. He drops the ball. The Jewish people did not, I'm not anti-Jewish, but they did not become a blessing to the world until what? Until the coming of Jesus Christ, and then this was fulfilled. But it was only when God Himself said, you're not doing it. You're not going to do it. I'll do it. You have failed. And you think about the first century Jews, they were all about what? They were all about themselves, making sure that they were keeping the law. Make sure you keep the law. Make sure you keep the law. Make sure you keep the law. The Gentiles, well, they surround us, but make sure you keep the law. Make sure you keep the law. Do this, do this, do this. And God is saying, you're supposed to be a blessing to the world. Where's the blessing? You're called, and my goodness, they knew the God of creation and they kept it to themselves? You know the one who created, and you're not trying to reach out and call others to believe what you believe, to come and sacrifice? I mean, really, you know that this is breaking of the law that God has brought, and you're not telling your neighbors, please come to the synagogue, come to know my God. You need to know Him, because otherwise, there is one God, there is only one God, and we're called to love Him with everything we have, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Both of those things, they failed. Now, this is not an indictment on the Jewish people. This is really an indictment upon us. Because if God called Abram to be a blessing, then how much more are we, those who follow God and what He did and the eternal blessings that follow, how much more ought we to be a blessing to the world? Only in Jesus Christ is this part of the command fulfilled. God ends up doing what Abram could not do. Our call is the same. we must reveal to the world Jesus Christ. For how would Abram become a blessing to the world? I'll tell you how. Abram would have been the blessing to the world that he had been called to if he had revealed God to the world. If they had revealed God to the world instead of revealing him to themselves. So it is with us. Our call is to glorify Jesus Christ, to lift him high, and in doing so, he will become a blessing to the world. This is the sad part. Hear this next sentence. If we become the substance of the blessing that we're giving to the world, there is no blessing there. If we become the substance of our blessing of the world, there is no blessing. It's only when Jesus Christ is the substance of the blessings we give. And that's a hard place to be, because it's very easy to think, oh yes, we're blessing this world by doing this and this and this and this. If we just do this, well then those people will be blessed. There's a missionary in Asia, there's a pastor in Asia, K.P. Yohannan, and he writes in one of his books, I wish those American missionaries would stop sending us money. I wish they would stop coming and feeding us food. I wish they would stop blessing us with material things because it's making my job as a pastor harder. These people are going to die whether you give them a meal today or not. What they need is Jesus Christ. So if you come, he writes, preach Jesus. And if you have time, you can feed us. But stop with the charity if it's void of Jesus Christ. This is a hard concept because it feels good to be charitable. But I'm telling you, charity without Jesus, you are the substance of your blessing. I don't care to be a blessing to anyone. I want Jesus to bless them. And so therefore, my message to the world, our message, New Life Christian Community's message to the world is Jesus Christ, period. He died for us so that we can have eternal life. He is the one whose name we want to lift high. And if I get in the way with anything that I'm doing, then remove me from my post because I don't want to be in the way. You, Jesus, be lifted high in our lives. Be the blessing we need. Be the blessing this world needs. Fulfill these words that you spoke to Abram so many years ago. And praise Jesus, he did fulfill them. Praise Jesus, he put an end to the misery. And the Holy Spirit is here. How beautiful. So think about the future of our body here. Think about the future as we look to the future. As you pray about where we might end up in a building, as we move forward and decisions that are made, may there be one goal, and that is to lift high Jesus Christ. And if something else gets in the way, if there's a stumbling block of some kind, then may we unite together and remove that, rid it out. If this building, Lord, will not bring you glory, we ask that you would put an end to the search. We pray for our families, Jesus, that you would be lifted high, that you would be our everything. We ask that you'd speak clearly to us, that you would teach us what it is to lift your name high, that you would work in a way where we might become a blessing because of you, Jesus. You're the message we want to preach. We give you ourselves. We commit everything we are to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.